This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
On this Sunday morning, thanks to Poka Lai Nui and the Hawaiian Potpourri program, heard every Sunday from 6 to 8 o'clock right here on K108. Well, it's time again on a Sunday. It's time for the Carol Cox Show this morning, and Tina Crizon is in the studio with Carol Cox. So let's begin. It's a beautiful day outside. Here's Carol.
Good morning there. Hello, everybody out there, and that was, Francis, that was Muddy Waters, and that's what we call grown folk music. You know, like you tell a kid, that's a grown folk fruit punch. Well, that's grown folk music, and some of you will be out there probably thinking, what has that got to do with the environment? Well, I have Tina here with me, and Tina, good morning. Thank you for joining me.
Good morning, Carol.
And Tina's going to... She's working on putting a show together, and real quickly, what are you going to be talking about other than mind power and money power and wealth? What are you going to be talking about?
I am going to have a great show where I'm interviewing inspiring people from our state, all over the world. Again, talking about well-being, our economics, leadership, and it's going to be great. We're going to have insights from human behavior specialists, Dr. John F. D. Martini. And so I'm really looking forward to expanding from television in here with you folks to radio. So it's a great opportunity. We're going to start in May. Looks like it'll be Saturdays from 3 to 4 p.m. So if everyone wants to stay tuned, we'd love to get the phone calls and hear what the listeners want to talk about also.
Well, I might be calling you up for a little mind recreation. I once in a while I get stuck on stupid, you know. But anyway, I'm glad you'll be joining me in talking about some things. But what I wanted to do, I have Charles Flattery on the line from Kona, and we just had we all know about the Kona winds. Well, the Kona winds blew in yesterday. And boy, were they brisk. And some of you probably never even knew that the Kona winds blew, but what it was, metaphorically, the community of Waiaha has been in a campaign to challenging the Department of Land and Natural Resources, State Historical Preservation Department, keeping them from delisting. They had made a motion and asked the Hawaii Historic Places Review Board to delist a site that was on the Federal Registry and also a historical site here in the state. And what they wanted to do was the site, they claim, had been destroyed, but they claim not to know who destroyed it. This is the State Historical Preservation. Now, I thought we had fixed all these problems when Lingle came in with Melanie Chenin, and they had that big brouhaha and sending out good people to place and replace them with bad people. Well, I thought that was cleaned up. Well, apparently it was not cleaned up, and yesterday we saw the worst of the worst, but the people prevailed, and that Kona wind, there were people that came from Kona that came to testify, mind you, on a Saturday, on their own dollar, on their own time, so you can see the cards were stacked already. Why wouldn't they hold a meeting in Kona opposed to having them to fly all the way here? And to add insult to injury, they were nervously watching their cars, because as they parked in the Kalani Moku building, you have to put 25 cents in, and you have a two-hour limit, and then you got to put more money. So very inviting and friendly the government, the state government, is here. But Chuck, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Carol. How are you today?
I'm fine. I'm just anxious to let you share your feeling and your mana'o on what transpired yesterday and how this all came about regarding the location of Pua'a 2. So share with us what some of the basic background and what you've been dealing with SHPD, and if you would, go ahead.
Sure. The Pua'a 2 agricultural complex was part of King Kamehameha's gardens, as we call it over here. It's in the rain belt here in Kona, and supplies the food for several hundred thousand people. Probably the largest population or concentration of Native Hawaiians in the state at that time. It's called the Kona Field System, and it developed over several centuries and was designed to capture water to feed the people. And so as the population grew, the Kona Field System grew and became more sophisticated. And so the Pua'a 2 agricultural complex was one of the examples of this, but it was a really prime example. What made it really special was that Carol Kawachi, an archaeologist here in Hawaii, who now works for the Natural Resource Conservation Service, a federal agency that helps farmers to develop conservation plans for erosion and sedimentation control and provide them with federal grants, had done her master's thesis on this site. And it's a 200-page thesis that is absolutely a stunning piece of work. And we had the good fortune to listen to an expert genealogist go through the thesis last Friday, and really became aware of how there are literally thousands of residents of all descents, Japanese, Chinese, that married Hawaiians, that are directly related to this particular site. And what was really also special is that even though it had been neglected for some period of time, it was designed as a flood control structure. It's adjacent to the Waiaha flood stream and floodplain, and it was still working after, you know, a couple of hundred years. And unfortunately, though, it was destroyed sometime, we think, in the year 2000. And as a result of that, there was a property owner that subsequently purchased the property, and they started a coffee farm, and they wanted to delist the site because HRS 343, the I guess you would call it the environmental law here in Hawaii, requires that anyone who's going to do work within a national and state registered site, and oh, I forgot to mention, Carol, after she did her thesis, after she had done all that work, went ahead and followed through and had the site placed on the state and the national register of historic places. And so, but that creates a trigger for an environmental assessment. Unfortunately, one was not done. What was more disturbing, though, for the residents of the Waiaha, community, the Waiaha families, is that the landowner then began to do grubbing and grading work, and they started to have flooding, unprecedented flooding, flooding that they'd never had before. The water was such that they had 100-year-old coffee trees on the properties down below. The soil washed away, the roots were exposed, and so you had 100-year-old coffee trees that were dying as a result of this other landowner who had come in from the mainland and started their own coffee farm. So this community then started contacting the mayor. I mean, they met with the former mayor, Harry Kim, his cabinet, went to an incredible number of meetings, met with what was then candidate, mayoral candidate Billy Kanoi. And but nobody did anything, and SHPD was not responding to them as well. And was
when you say when you say we're not responding, what do you mean not responding?
I mean the Waiaha families were trying to they were trying to find out, you know, when the site was destroyed, what remained of it, you know, what was the State Historic Preservation Division going to do about it. They were telling, you know, SHPD that an environmental impact statement needed to be done. And they were getting letters that were just basically shining them on. And this has been going on for over 2 years now. And you're talking about people who are ranchers. I mean, Bert Onaka and Kelsey Onaka, they're ranchers. They I remember one rodeo last year. They finished first and second in roping. Plus, they have full-time jobs
right.
in addition to that. And so, you know, but they're living in fear of their lives with this flooding thing. And when they found out that the landowner was trying to delist this property and that State Historic Preservation Division was doing nothing about finding out, you know, how this happened, were they going to protect what would remain of that site, you know, so that it wouldn't flood anymore, or even more? They just couldn't believe it. They were outraged.
So, what happened is, I had received a letter here from SHPD that you guys shared with me. So you were asking this community, the Waiaha community, was asking to not delist the site because, and in fact, to protect it and conduct an investigation. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
And in fact, you know, they were hoping, even though the site has been severely damaged, I mean, it was a functioning structure. There's an incredible thesis documenting it, pictures, diagrams, and they were hoping that it actually could be restored, such as Kamehameha Schools is restoring two heiau down at the Outrigger Beach Resort.
I'm trying to focus on Chuck. I'm trying to focus on this. I appreciate all the other. Right now, I'm going to be short for time.
Okay.
But I was trying to get some of the points where it was what the community was faced with. The others, we'll talk about those later. The Kamehameha. But if you could synopsize it for me, in a sense that what went on. Was the SHPD helpful? And you've stated no, and I've been able to also, I concur with you that there was some unwillingness on their part. And then secondly, they claim just yesterday in the hearing right, that they did not know or didn't have any information as to who had destroyed it. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, Carol.
So what happened then? Do you think they were right in the representation that they made, or do you believe there are documents that show that they knew and should have known, right?
What's clear is that it's not clear. I mean, we just this week found county permits that SHPD had signed off on,
mm-hmm.
but the permits don't describe what area was. They approved 10 acres of a 35-acre property, and it's not clear if this 5-acre site on this property was included in that or not. And yet SHPD, Pua IU, the director, was willing to take the blame for it without there being any documentation. She was not in office at that time. We're not sure SHPD has documentation showing that they actually knew that this had occurred or not, but yet they were willing to take the blame, which we found to be, really utterly bizarre. And in addition to that, they were opposing they wanted the property to be delisted. They said that their hands were tied, and basically their actions yesterday made it clear that they were supporting the delisting,
yeah.
Which, they're supposed to be representing the people.
Let me share this letter that you folks share with me that was written by the State Historic Preservation. It was dated, November 28, 2008, and it was regarding the delisting of National Register of Historic Places, Site 10229. That would be the Pua 2, right?
Yes, sir.
So what happened was that what caught my eye and really triggered a great interest in this, and you guys were already on top of this one. The letter states, on October 17, 2008, three of my staff, Deputy State Historic Preservation Officer Nancy McMahon, the Culture History Branch Chief Phyllis Kuchikayan, and Hawaii Island archaeologist Teresa Dunham, visited the Ariana Farm site and reported that there are no longer any visible traces of the site, 10229, on the Ariana Farms property. But then jumping ahead here, in another statement, they say, as we have confirmed that the site listed in the Ariana's farm property no longer exists, and because the landowner have asked, we must delist it regardless of when the site was destroyed. And you guys expressed that in the hearing yesterday that
it's a shocking statement.
Yeah, I mean, just because someone go out and if we don't know who, but we now know that there are documents that the DLNR, SHPO, or SHPD, State Historic Preservation Office, and Pua IU should have known, could have known, and they knew that they had missteps. And I think they shared with you that they had knowledge that some of their workers were not keeping proper records and all. But how did that play out overall? Did it, yesterday when you got that vote, that favorable vote to not to delist it from the board, how did that feel?
I think we were a little incredulous because up until that point in time, for over 2 years, you've got to understand, actually 2.5 years, we had gotten a runaround from all government agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wanted to take responsibility. Nobody wanted to, we'll do this, this, and this,
mm-hmm.
and then, the county wouldn't, the state wouldn't. They came out and had many visits, and so they weren't accustomed quite frankly, we were hoping against hope that they would vote against delisting, but we were being told by many people that we were wasting our time. So I guess the first reaction was surprise, especially given that the vote was unanimous.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were it was, even though our plane was delayed and we didn't get planned in Kona until 12:30 this morning, we were having a good time while everybody else in the airport was about to have a riot. We were laughing and cutting up, and everybody else was on the verge of being taken away in the paddy wagon.
Right. So let me ask you, what couple of words could you share with the other community members out there that offered advice that it's an uphill battle and you won't succeed? And what would you say to those that are fighting future battles real quick? Like, and I'm going to play just a little clip from the voting yesterday. And if you go ahead real quick, like...
It's just like if you have someone who you love who's sick, you want to find out what you want to find out about that condition. You want to go and look at the medical condition. What we did is that we just took the time to go and look at the law, federal, state, and county law, and taught ourselves and talked to people and talked to other people who had been through this before over the years. There are people out there. The government tries to wear us down, and people give up, but they still learn. And we were really fortunate that we came across a lot of people who cared enough, cared about the issue, gave us great advice, gave us, taught us a lot. And we presented the law, and I really think we empowered the Historic Review Board to make a decision that they wanted to make, even though the Attorney General for the state was bullying them mm-hmm. and was disrespecting them. That was another shocking thing, was just the behavior of the Attorney General in the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm going to play a little piece, so hold on there for a minute, Chuck, and then we'll talk a couple more minutes. And this is the hearing yesterday, the voting.
But the motion is to delist. So the question was, anybody who wants to delist, say aye. Nobody said aye, so now the question is, anybody who's against
this is the Attorney General speaking.
Anybody who's against the motion, please say no.
No.
No. Any abstain? No abstain. So the motion to say no stands.
Correct. I'm sorry. I only heard two no's.
Well,
so can we have a hand? Just for the record.
Either roll call or show. Roll call. Yeah, roll call. Roll call.
No. No. No.
No.
Thank you. Okay, that was seven no's, unanimous, was it, Chuck? To not to delist that. And delisting that would have opened Pandora's box on this one, wouldn't it?
It would have made a train wreck even worse.
Yeah. And so I applaud you guys there at Kona and the Waiaha community to fight, and it was a pleasure assisting and working with you. And there is now a contested case, and as you've said, the behavior of the Attorney General. Folks, if you want to see, I'm going to try and put, I did videotape the hearing, and I'm going to try and put it together and put it on Olelo and probably put some of it up on carolcox.com. But, you know, you hear us talk here often talking about how the government fails us and be smart when you vote. I'm going to try to give you good examples. And then at the end of the year, you should know, make your own decisions of if your government is being efficient and effective. But it seems yesterday the government in its entirety was working against this community and has worked against this community. And Chuck, as we discussed yesterday, the others felt that there was that the Attorney General was actually overstepping its bounds and offering advice or inferring advice to the landowner?
Yes, I mean, he was interrupting the proceedings and interjecting and giving his recommendations, and he repeated it and kept bringing up the fact that there was a contested case and that there was an attorney that was being brought in who I know knows U.S. Supreme Court Justice Kennedy personally,
mm-hmm.
And has talked about that in court. So, I mean, it was an incredible display of intimidation for a volunteer board who had us sitting in a room without air conditioning with the door closed. It was amazing.
Yeah, but that board performed beautifully and heard this community, and I'm just hoping that I can get this out and let some of you hear and see that justice does prevail. Even if you are a small ad hoc group, if it's the principle and it's you being affected, don't give up the fight and don't back down because you have a state agency. And I described this yesterday as this is the Governor Lingle's arc. You know, we had the super ferry. This is Governor Lingle's arc on land. And this situation here, this SHPD performed badly. They gave bad advice. They gave conflicting advice. And in some instances, your group showed that she had even made conflicting statements in her presentation to the board. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So, again, my hat's off to you folk, and I really enjoyed working with you on that one. And there's some things coming down the pipe on this subject. Those of you out there that want to give support and contact the governor, contact Laura Thielen as we did and wrote her. One interesting footnote here, just to show you, this community wrote Laura Thielen asking her to remove this item from the agenda, and asking Mr. Kiyoshi Ikeda, the would be the chairman of that committee. This is what did Ms. Thielen respond with, Chuck?
She basically said she didn't know the members of the review board and wasn't familiar with this.
Yeah, she wrote back saying, who is this guy? Who is...
Right. And she's the State Historic Preservation Officer.
Right. She is a DLNR, and this is a major committee under her, and she did not know. And these are her own words. I saw the email. Who is this guy? Who is Ikeda? So, folks, if you know, I know I'm nitpicky, and it sounds as though, but when you have a head of a state agency that don't know the critical committee members, she don't have to know every member now. Don't get me wrong, but she also could have asked before she spoke. Clearly, you guys knew Ikeda existed, so she could have asked poor IU to just simply ask her, who is Mr. Ikeda? But instead, she was so, and I suspect, was so predisposed in giving this landowner what they wanted that she was going to walk over. And boy, it was a joy looking at the faces of the poor IU and others after that board rendered that opinion and that vote, that unanimous vote.
Well, Carol, I want to thank you. I mean, all the members of the community appreciated your involvement, your support, and we also were extremely impressed with Mr. Ikeda, and I mean, he shared his experience, 50 years of experience in trying to working with historic preservation, and he gave us some really, really great advice, and we really appreciated his support as well.
All right. Well, anyway, as promised, I'm going to travel to Kona in the coming weeks, and we're going to come over and we'll do the show live from there, and hopefully get others in the community to, because this is a rallying point. I think it says a lot that this community and how you care, and this is, it's an assault on the Hawaiian culture, and as you, Chuck, and others are very emphatic about it, I think I was more moved to the commitment that you guys put forward, and having no interest personally, you know, some of you don't even live in the immediate area. So my hat's off to you, and count me in as a friend and as an advocate. And some of you out there are going, well, how can he be a journalist and an advocate? No, if it's wrong, it's wrong. So,
well, thank you, Carol, very much.
And Tina, real quick.
And I'd like to offer, Carol, once you edit that footage, you're more than welcome to air it on my show, because anything
okay.
historical, you know, there's two important things here. Not only it's a historical site, but when he talks about the flood control structure, again, history has taught us, Pflugger, broken dam, again, broken trust.
Yeah. Well, okay, Chuck, thank you, and say hello, aloha to all over there at Mahalo for their help and their kindness. So,
thank you, Carol. Aloha, kakahiaka.
Aloha. All righty. That was absolutely yesterday. It was worth it. But as I've said earlier, it's a strange thing and a strategy that, you know, if you want to know how your government works, why would people from Kona have to come here to a board on a weekend at 1:30 in the evening So, in other words, the strategy is plant it in, if it's to affect Kona, plant it in Honolulu and have the meeting in Honolulu, because who in these times especially can afford to come? If you want to know how your government works, and what, just take, stand back and take a gander at that. You know, forget the activists, forget the 911 conspiracy and all of that. Just take the real look back how you're being placated, the rights of the people, the voice of the people are being squandered and suppressed through strategies. And when you read these letters that the Historic Preservation wrote, just because someone asked to have it, a national site delisted, they state, quote, they must delist it. What they should have done at that moment, Tina, was to, when they were on that site, and I'm told they didn't even go because I'm told there was an issue with the landowner, they didn't have right to enter. So they made a report that didn't represent the facts. But when, and if they were to have seen that it was destroyed or defaced, to whatever degree, they should have put their hands up to their faces or the face in hand and cried, my goodness, what has happened here? Call the authorities, call the attorney general. There should be an investigation. Someone has desecrated the site because it still is a historical site. And proof of that is that they went yesterday to seek delisting.
And another important thing, the old Hawaiian systems, from the mountain down all the way to the ocean, mm-hmm. was to sustain everyone. And that's what it just sounds like.
Yeah.
You know, and that's our number one resource, our water, our land, that we're not having to ask anybody from, you know, to import for
right.
us. And yet,
well, it yesterday was, it was heartwarming to see what I quote describe as what I felt that the DLNR had perceived these people as, just simple little people. Not people that they work for, but little people. You know, invisible people. They had their strategy. They were vociferous. They walked in growling, snapping. This is the DLNR, folks. Even disrespectful to the... And I got it on tape. You can see the Attorney General where they were voting. And he didn't like the way it was going, so he objected. You know, so anyway, I'm going to be following this a lot closer. And again, out there, we're not in a fight. This is our right. It is something we own. And the more I see it in the greater building and development, the Hawaiian culture is under assault, whether intentionally or... And people are not just out there attacking it. It is the agencies that is supposed to have the stick in hand to make the judge or the gavel that is failing. The gavel is going silent now.
And Hawaiians for years and years, decades, were sustainable. They
mm-hmm.
relied on and took care of their whole family, their community throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to count on anyone. And so their structures that they have in place are there for a reason.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but I don't want to be pessimistic or be the old man who sits and just complain about everything, but you got to call what it is. We got enough people out there whining and dining the officials and glad-handing them. I'm going to live on the other side of the line and try and just reflect on a repeated basis to share these instances, because they can be damning. They can destroy a lot,
well,
and you'll never
that's
know.
That's what it was. It was a flood control
mm-hmm.
area
mm-hmm.
that created dams
yeah.
to take care of the aina and all the people, the farms, the homes. So
mm-hmm.
the impact, again, it makes me reflect back to Kauai and to the Pfluger,
mm-hmm.
broken dam. What was that? Broken trust.
Yeah, well,
again, somebody able to do things without any oversight, to change the landscape without any oversight.
Well, the jury's still out on that, because, you know, the state is, you know, they have an obligation. And, well, you know, if they're doing this at Kona, what did they do on Kauai? So it's just people should start asking questions. And then, you know, I'm just trying to stimulate that, to serve as a catalyst. But anyway, speaking of all of that, I also want to talk about issues right here at home on the island of Oahu. And by the way, this is the Carol Cox Show, and you can pick us up at carolcox.com, or you can send us an email at carol@carolcox.com, and that's CAROLLCOX.com. So we have some pictures up, and there was a story that was covered on KHON that I contributed to, and based on an investigation I've been conducting for a couple months. And what it involved was a Kapa'a quarry area, the Kawai Nui Marsh. And what I'd been informed by workers there that they were dumping, the city was illegally dumping leachate. And so some months go by and we were able to document all of that. And that is also up on the website, some of the photographs and what have you. And you can also see that story still, it's posted up on KHON.com. But what happened is that we're always worried about the quality of water, and funny enough, and that's why I had invited you too to talk about. This was Earth Month, and this was the Monday. This was Earth Week, and then the Earth Day, and then the mayor. Here's a document from the city public relations. Mayor unveils city's Earth Month calendar. And meantime, they're up there intentionally dumping and have for some while thousands of gallons of leachate. And the leachate, by the way, is coming from the old landfill at Kapa'a. Why would they need to block it off? And the workers, the allegations were that they were ordered to do this. And so the state is now investigating, and then we attempted with the EPA. But you have family here, but how does it make you feel? Your husband fish a lot.
Well, he's always concerned about the levels and the quality of our water. And he fishes. I have a son that surfs. I have a. We both have a grandson that's a professional surfer, and we got nieces and nephews.
What's the grandson's name? Come on.
Dustin Quizon, and from Eva, well-known. But we rely so much on our water. You know, I've got nieces and nephews. My daughter is pregnant right now and loves to be in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And the quality of our water is so important. The watersheds alone, you know, it's one of those things Hawaii has that we can be so proud of. But if we don't pay attention and look at what the environmental impacts, not only with raw sewage, mm-hmm. the chemical and all these urban and other things, there's so many things that our level of water can go down so quickly, and it has, and it does. It's really, I found a document just yesterday. There was the Department of Health issued a alert for down in the Kehi Lagoon because of all of the rain we had coming down through the Kalihi Stream, and there was an overflow from the sewer hole, and so we had about 1,425 gallons of waste water overflow that is affecting Kei Lagoon. This was just yesterday. But we've had an ongoing battle, and my husband's always concerned because not only, you know, if what he could catch, you know, disease-wise mm-hmm. for his skin, not to mention chemically, sometimes it's fatal, and they even state that. Chemical spills can be fatal. But what happens to the fish, the coral reefs, it's an mm-hmm. ongoing battle. And mm-hmm. Hawaii, really, we rely so much on our beaches, our water. This is our resource. And so if we're not going to pay attention to what quality we're putting out there, mm-hmm. then we're going to be just like
sewage, for example, as you know, they're seeking to lower the standard, the water quality standards. The mayor and this strategy, and his person, Timothy Steinberg. And Timothy Steinberg, by the way, they play revolving chairs. And I'll describe it like this to the public. The way these people come about, each one of them have an expertise. But the expertise isn't drawing from their professional field, but an expertise how to hoodwink the public, see. Mr. X may be good at duping the public on this subject. So they move around. So the mayor has now appointed and allowing to serve in the capacity of director now, because Eric Takamura left or whatever. Timothy Steinberg is just written an opinion piece in the Star Bulletin, and quote, a matter of standards. Right, so he's wanting to. He's talking about the bill that's before the legislators, House Bill 834 and Senate Bill 1008, to reduce the quality standards
of our water.
Yeah, and here we are now. Now, in 2003, I filed an action before the City Council to have Mr. Steinberg reject his appointment that was planned for the. The Department of Design and Construction, because there were some unethical issues there with him. And then up pops the weasel, and he's now working for Environmental Services, right? Because, you see, as I say, they all can serve. They have an expertise at folding the cards and bending the cards and putting the cards behind the back, whatever, quick-handed, right? And he writes this opinion piece, and yet... These standards have been around for a long time, and we are inviting people here, and we're seeing an increase of staph infection. Well, as Mr. Hanneman says, that when the man fell in the water, he denied that and disowned that. But just to show you what's going on, and for the people out there, this isn't a dig on Hanneman. This is just the facts. So on April 21st, 2009, I get a call about 3:30, that there was a sewage spill in Kailua. Well, call around and they say that it was approximately 1 to 5,000 gallons at that plant. And the concern was some of it had actually run off the property. There's a playground right next door, and then the school is also in that vicinity, and there's a little waterway. Workers from the plant informed me. Now, I wasn't there and didn't see it, but I called the state, and the state says, well, we haven't gotten any reports. There is no spill. And I'm telling them the specifics. It occurred at 5:20 a.m. Everybody lied. And what the workers also said is that the reason they didn't want to report this, because this, again, was Earth Month, and this was on the 21st, and the 22nd of this month, the mayor had planned April 22nd, Earth Day, will feature Honolulu's first green market on 4th Street Mall. And then on the 26th, he had the Century Ahupua Youth Ambassadors for Earth Day. So it's all a big shabai. And the reality is spill after spill, and he's fighting the EPA. He did not want to upgrade the plant. And by the way, upgrading... They're not doing what's legally required of them, even in these standards. They're below the standards. Sewage water is still being dumped in Wahiwa Reservoir and run. And if you look today, there's an article in the Honolulu Advertiser about coral. But what I found missing is you don't hear how the city is talking about reducing the standards and sewage. They say pollutants. But somewhere, I don't see anything that really... bring home the point that how can we be complaining about coral dying, but we don't look at all the aspects of the contributing factors and name names and call names. So you say your daughter's pregnant and these heavy metals, and there are some things that will mimic estrogens and what have you, and the antibiotics that are flushed down the toilets and the vitamins and what have you. These heavy metals and others are taken in and retained in the fatty tissues of the fish. And so when someone consumes them, that's why we have, especially people that are pregnant.
She loves fish. She's grown up on fish all her life. Mm-hmm. And we're fairly lucky we don't have the high levels of mercury and other things that, you know, the West Coast has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're lucky that we have limited amounts of Cervatera You know, one day I can remember walking across a bridge and a tourist asking me, what is this sign, leptospirosis?
Mm-hmm.
It's embarrassing that we even have those kind of signs in our streams. You know, but there they are. It's like, you know, and this is supposed to be paradise.
Oh, yeah.
Our watershed is so vital, you know, and it's amazing when you go and look. You know, Honolulu, the harbor, Kay Lagoon, Koala Basin, even Alawai Yacht Club, these areas have consistently been, their quality chronically does not meet the standards. You
right.
know, the water quality has been low for Pearl Harbor, you know, Wailua, you know, it's, and so why would we want to even go lower? Why would we want to create even more of a monster to our ecosystem, to our coral reefs, to the fish, and more importantly, to our human species?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand this, Carol.
Well, when I read about the desire to reduce the quality standards, they've set them high enough, but no one has ever determined and come factual as to just how degraded the standards, even though they're set high now, they've never come close. I'd say probably on a scale of 1 to 10, they may come to a 2 or even less than that. And then, so if they can't meet this standard, and then if we lower it, that means we're going to see the quality going even further backwards.
Well, do you remember the Clean Water Act? I believe it was in 1997. And its goal is to end all discharges of pollutants into the water.
Mm-hmm.
So what, you know, if we're moving into a direction of lowering the accountability of polluting, not only with raw sewage, but chemically,
mm-hmm.
I can't see where people are going to even want to come here to be in our waters, you know.
Yeah. Well, when there's, we're going to be posting some pictures in the coming future on showing pictures of the effects and mm-hmm. incidences mm-hmm. of the staph infection and how bad it is. But going back to the Kailua wastewater, so I said that the state claimed that they checked with the city and they had no records.
Right.
So finally, I was able to convince them that they had a spill, and then Marcus Owen says, okay, we did have one, and we're going to release a press release. Well, to the news stations and all. Well, that never happened, because they felt that, again, I was bluffing. So, and then told everyone that, well, no, we didn't. So finally, I said to them factually, you had it at 5:20 a.m., and we got someone that will come on, go on camera, and acknowledge that there was a spill. So finally they own up to it. But here's the problem. They had actually called the state, and the state hadn't written a report on it. So when the news stations called, no one would fess up to it. So here is the actual report. Time occurred at 5:15. I was wrong. I said 5:20 a.m. Well, it occurred at 5:15 a.m. So my bad. But then I said it was about a 1,000 to 500 gallons, a 5,000 gallons, and sure enough, this is what this report. The state finally fessed up and gave me a copy of the report. City refused because, again, it was Earth Day. They didn't want anybody to know. It would have tainted the image. And that was, the workers told me that they were, that was the discussion. Do not let this out because it would be bad for the city. It would look bad. This is Earth Day. So,
in other words, but it's okay for my child to go to the park, which my kids do all the time, my grandkids, and play in the grass that's going to be contaminated with raw sewage and other chemicals.
Well, on your little notepad over your refrigerator, so that's that little notepad that you keep on every politician that affects your life, you're making notes, right? And then at the end of the year, when he stands up and says, vote for me and I'll set you free, you look at your little notepad and you say, well, I remember I went to the beach 20 days of the year and my kids, and every day we had sewage spills. I don't know if I want to bring this guy back in or whatever, whoever it is, if it's not sewage or whatever. But again, here's an example. This is the kind of nonsense that they pass on to us through the media and what have you. Wastewater spilled down more than 20% in 2008.
Wastewater spills declined for the second year in a row, according to the City and County of Honolulu's Department of Environmental Services. These are the same people who are illegally dumping leachate in the water, burying white goods at Waipahu, and couldn't run the landfill properly at Waimanawa Gulch, right? And big money. But we're going to trust what they say. Wastewater spills in calendar year 2008 declined 20.8% compared to 2007. Last year, ENV recorded 117 total wastewater spills from gravity mains, lower laterals, pump stations, and force mains, compared to 144 in 2007. Now, keep in mind, folks, what you don't know and what you don't see is that if they can fudge the line, if the sewage spill does not run off onto the street or into a drain or into a creek or canal or water source, it's not a spill. How many of those occur? So it's all gibberish, and it's unfortunate that we as a people are being subjected to this nonsense. And so standards shouldn't be lowered. The standards should be raised within government. To heck with changing the standards and on sewage. You know, I smell something, and it's like sewage, but it's within our government, environmental, in the city planning and environmental services department.
And for years down at Nimitz, you did smell stuff because mm-hmm. the pineapple industry was dumping regularly. So mm-hmm. if we want to get back to, you know, that stench
mm-hmm.
and nobody wanting to go in the water, this is a great way to do it.
Yeah. Well, again, it's unfortunate, as we see on the island, the big island there at Kona, what has happened. And again, I think your legislators are going to make a grave error if they lower the standards. And all it is to get from under the EPA's watchful eye, and that's holding the city accountable.
Well, and then you don't even hold accountable any industry or
yeah.
business.
And I give up on the state. The state rubber stamps what the city does, and the state is supporting this. So we really don't need a state agency. We're spending money. There's a budget right there, savings millions. We do not need the state health department, water division, clean water, wastewater, if all they are going to do is hide and lie for the city. We don't need them. We just have the city reporting when they feel like. So anyway, I appreciate you joining me, and hopefully your show comes up soon, The Pathways to Paradise.
Looking forward to it.
All right.
Saturdays, we're looking at about 3 to 4 p.m.
Okay.
Right here with...
on KWAI, right?
That's
108
right.
a.m. Okay, well, we're going to get out of here, and I appreciate you joining us. And again, catch us at Carol at carolcox.com for the email, and carolcox.com for... podcast. Aloha.
Thank you.
I got a letter came to me by mail. My baby's coming home. Hope that she don't fail. You know I feel so good. Well, I feel so good. You know, I feel so good till I feel like on the jam. I feel so good. Hope that I always will. Feel like a jackal with a dream. Well, behind the heels.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.